I am here.
There we go. We got you now. How you doing, my man?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. So you were able to drop off the kids? We gave you enough time, or what's the deal?
Oh, they're going to listen to this interview with the great Orlando Altigary.
And by the way, you can catch him on Fantasy Radio, FNTSY Radio on Twitter from noon to 2 every single day. So make sure you download the app and listen to my man Craig Mish as always. And follow him on Twitter for some breaking news as always. Great insight. And you know, Mish Meister, a lot of people are taking their shots at Clayton Kershaw today. I just, as a guy that's been in the locker room, as a guy that's had to ask all those questions in the worst moments, I got to tell you, all I did was just gain way more respect for Clayton Kershaw. The way he handled it, the way he approached it, the way he doused the fire and said, hey, it's on me, man. It's I get what you guys are going to talk about, and everything you're going to talk about me in the postseason is true. I really admired the man yesterday, and it makes me now root more for him than ever to get over this postseason hurdle of his.
Yeah, and you bring up a really good point, because Orlando, and being in the media for 30 years or more, like you have.
No, it's 30. Don't go more. Okay, 30. All right? Okay. Don't make me older than I am.
All right. I wasn't exactly sure. I thought 30 sounded good. So, you know, for you and me and for people who have been hosts, but we came from backgrounds of having to ask those questions, I think that's a really good assessment. And I think it's really unfair, because a lot of people who are, you know, involved in now, like the new Hot Take Radio, just they never had that experience. And it's really easy to rip a player. It's really easy to come down on a player without having to deal with them in person. And so I think that's the first point that needs to be made, and I think it's an astute one by you. The other point that I would make is that although the decision-making process may not have been clean by Dave Roberts throughout that game, including
Joe Kelly?
And they could have potentially even pulled Kershaw after the first home run.
Yeah, that too. I talked about that here on the show too. They could have pulled him after the first home run, and they did.
Right, but let's also be clear. In the National League, he gave up two home runs to two players who were probably in the top 10 in terms of hitters in the entire National League. It's not like he gave up home runs to guys who weren't any good. I mean, Anthony Rendon is an MVP candidate. Juan Soto is one of the best players in all of Major League Baseball, and he's only 20. And Kershaw is not the Kershaw that he was in the past. And, of course, he's got that history of the postseason for sure, but he got beat by two great players there. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, I woke up this morning thinking, my gosh, Rendon and Soto are amazing, and Washington may have a chance to win the whole thing. And, of course, the narrative is always going to be the tear down, because people like to see train wrecks. But, look, Kershaw's career is a Hall of Fame career any way you slice it, but there's no doubt he just hasn't performed in the postseason, and that's going to be what everyone's focused on.
All right, so the Roberts thing, how much do we lay it on him for not pulling Kershaw after the first home run? How about Kelly? I don't know if I would have put Kelly in that situation either. I don't think that was a good call either.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, they have Kenley Jansen. I don't know really why he wasn't used until the game was out of hand. It doesn't really make a lot of sense to me either. The team did win 106 games, and they were within 5 innings of basically advancing again. So I'm sure he'll take some heat for it, and perhaps he'll be on the hot seat next year. But I would be hard-pressed to let go of a guy that has done such a good job for that organization. And I've known Dave through the years personally. A lot of the decisions are being made upstairs. He's one of those managers that gets a lineup, not every day, but I'm sure a lot of the days, from the front office, from the analytics staff, and they have these scenarios that they point to that they've predetermined no matter what, this is what they're going to do. And I think that's exactly the way that it played out last night. So as much of it that goes on Roberts has to go on the front office.
Does the Kelly thing go with analytics, or goes against the analytics? And does the Kershaw thing go with analytics, or does it go against analytics? I'm not sure.
Well, they decide. I mean, not every team does it this way, but the Dodgers for sure do it this way, where they determine before the game, if we're in this scenario, you know, and the analytics department will sit down with Roberts, and they'll sit down with Friedman and the general manager. They'll all, like, have a game plan going in, saying, here's what we want to do if this spot happens. And you know, some managers manage on feel and some manage based on upstairs. And he's one of those guys that's upstairs. I got news for you, Orlando. Aaron Boone is the same way with the New York Yankees. A lot of their
he's a big analytics guy.
Are predetermined. I mean, I don't know that Boone is an analytics guy. That team is driven by analytics. And so each team handles certainly things differently, but these scenarios are predetermined a lot of the time. And the manager, yes, while he is making the final decision, they have a playbook, basically like the NFL does. Like, they have their first 20 plays of the game or whatever, first 8 plays of the game. Baseball has that same thing, too. Here's what we do in every scenario, and that's exactly what happened.
And listen, when we talk about that matchup, that's the other thing. Those are the two teams that probably are the biggest underachievers in the National League the last 10 years. So whoever was going to lose that series was also going to have to carry that same burden, because the Nationals and the Dodgers, that's the one thing. They've spent a lot of money, or they have a lot of talent, and they have come up short over and over and over again. That's the brutal part about that series, that one of those two was going to still carry that torch.
Well, the good news for Washington was they at least won that wild card game.
Right.
So they came back and beat Milwaukee. So the monkey was off their back a little bit, but there were still a lot of people who felt like that wasn't enough. And for L.A., it's a huge disappointment. I think anything less than at least getting to the World Series would have been a disappointment. But remember, Orlando, they took Houston 7 games 2 years ago, and then, of course, they lost to the Red Sox last year in the World Series. So, it's a disappointing season. And a lot of it's going to hang on Kershaw, which is, you know, again, really, really unfortunate. But in this day and age that we live in, man, we just want that instant rip and that instant gratification. And there's no doubt that's what's happening today.
Rays, Astros, who ends up playing the Yankees?
Well, if it's not the Astros, then this would be the wackiest baseball postseason that we've seen ever. I mean, this is the last chance for this postseason to be somewhat normal. Because the games have obviously been incredible, and the games that were not incredible have been so lopsided that you can't even believe what's going on. So, I mean, look, how could I not take the best pitcher in baseball this year against at home in a Game 5 scenario? I don't know how Gerrit Cole will react to that. I guess that's out there, and that's up for interpretation. But I would have to take Cole. And one scenario that could play itself out is Charlie Morton, who 2 years ago for the Astros came in the, I believe it was the 5th inning, and then closed out the game for the Astros. He's now on Tampa, and what if Tampa holds a 2-1 lead, Orlando, in the 4th or 5th inning? Are they bringing in Morton to finish the game again? And that could happen. So I'll take Houston here, but I got to tell you, I've seen some things this baseball postseason that I did not expect at all.
Yeah, and listen, kudos to the Rays front office, man. I mean, those guys can scout, dude. They can find some talent because they don't have the money that everybody else has. And yet somehow or another, they're right here hanging with the big boys. I mean, hats off to them.
Yeah, and even though Oakland lost to Tampa, hats off to them too. Yeah. No one ever expects them to compete, and every year they win 85-90 games, and they did it again this year. They just fell short in that playoff game. But the thing with the Rays is that these teams that do it with analytics and small payrolls and a lot of platooning, the knock on them is that they're not built for these 5- and 7-game series. And so Tampa Bay really has a chance tonight to prove that wrong, because, as you know, they use, you know, Tampa Bay and some of the other teams in the big leagues now, they use the openers. A guy will come in, pitch an inning, and then someone else pitches 2 and 3.
Right.
And Milwaukee even did that in the postseason, too, in their wild card game, and they did it at the end of this season when their pitching fell short. So Tampa Bay winning this series would break the mold, because Oakland uses openers as well, but there hasn't been a team that's gotten to this point that has gotten this far with that strategy. And they may need to employ it for the entire postseason, which would be a complete change in the way that we view things, for sure.
What'd you think of the Cards-Braves series after the Cards almost scored 2 touchdowns yesterday?
Yeah, that was unexpected. Now, I did pick the Cardinals and bet on the Cardinals to win the World Series last December in Vegas when I was there for the winter meeting. So I thought St. Louis had a really good shot, because their kid Flaherty is somebody who I loved a lot going into the year. He disappointed in April and May. And then he came on from that point on. He was the best pitcher in baseball from June on. And they got Goldschmidt, Orlando. So obviously at that point, I'm like, okay, they have Ozuna, they have Goldschmidt, they have Carpenter. I'm taking the Cardinals. But that being said, I did not expect them clearly to win 13-1. You never would expect that. It's really unfortunate. Like, we here in South Florida have rightfully so had a hard time with our sports the last, 8 to 10 years probably or more.
Around.
That's true. But there's no city that's had to endure this kind of stuff like Atlanta. Orlando just hasn't been that. Like, it's just one disappointment after the next. The Hawks always falling in their decision games, and then getting beat by teams that were, you know, in the NBA seated lower than them. And then you had, their hockey team, which was a debacle, ended up being a debacle. You had the Falcons losing in the Super Bowl, being up 28-3. Falcons are always disappointing. And then the Braves went to all those World Series without winning. With the exception of winning one of them,
and don't forget they've lost.
Have to struggle with this,
and they've lost two hockey teams.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It was a debacle. So,
Hold on a second.
The Braves will be back. They have Acuna.
Well, they do have an MLS team that's pretty damn good, bro. At least they got that. They can hang their hats on that because Atlanta's pretty damn good.
Well, there you go. I wasn't aware. That's what we have you for.
It's a beautiful thing. All right. Hey, tell them about Fantasy Radio so folks can check you out.
Yeah, the app is FNTSY Radio, and the FantasySportsNetwork.com is the website. And so, like you, I've really embraced being in podcast form and being involved in the digital age. And the show is on every day from 12 to 2 Eastern. And on my Twitter, you can find that there. And then every week I do a podcast on the Miami Marlins called Swings and Misses. Ironically, this is the first week since January that we didn't do a podcast. This is the first week we just decided to start going bi-weekly now that the baseball season is over. And although there was some news today, there really just isn't a lot of news in general. But I'll be back doing it every week once we get hot into the winter meetings and the hot stove. And those are the primary ways that you can catch me on the internet.
When are they going to open up their wallets over there in Miami?
Well, we have to see what that TV contract is going to look like. I would guess that there'll be 2 or 3 players that you've actually heard of that they'll sign that are not close to retiring this year. So that will be a step in the right direction. But beyond that, they have 2 players this year, Orlando, who are free agents. One is Prado, who they probably won't bring back.
Yeah, no, please.
He made $18 million. And then Starlin Castro made about $11 or $12 million. So I would expect them to reinvest maybe $15-20 million in their payroll based on what they've lost there. But until they get a new TV deal, which won't come in until after next year, I would expect a very limited increase. I wouldn't even think there would be an increase in payroll, but I do think they will reinvest some of that money. And maybe they'll find an opportunity with a player who is out there that you don't expect to be gone. And I'm not saying Mookie Betts is that guy, but, like, for example, the Red Sox are talking about maybe moving Mookie Betts or JD Martinez. Maybe there is some other team that decides that they're going to, you know, kind of start over, and Miami's getting closer at least to competing. Maybe that's the route that they go. But it's so undetermined right now, and the free agent pool is not like it has been in past years. A lot of the kids signed those long-term deals. Acuna's already signed forever. So is Ozzie Albies. So it'll be slim pickings, but my guess is that they'll upgrade at least very slightly, at the very least, going into next year.
Follow him on Twitter at Craig Mish for breaking news. And, of course, anything new on the Marlins, check out the podcast Swings and Mishes, all Marlins. And, of course, Fantasy Radio. Mish Meister, as always, you're the best. Thank you for taking some time.
No problem. Congratulations on the podcast and the video and all the great things that you're doing. I really think you found your niche there. Congrats.
Thank you, my brother. Appreciate it. It has been absolutely awesome. You are the man. I appreciate that. Very kind.
All right. Have a good one.
You got it, baby. Be good. There you go. Craig Mish, man.